Yes. You'll all have to speak with English accents now as we speak of the protocol of the prophetic this evening. As of course, you know. Because there's protocol in the prophetic. Did you know that? This class, there's we're going to cover a lot of nuts and bolts, practical stuff tonight. And some of these principles are universal. Some of them will apply to when you're trying to minister in a more organized setting. So just some good things to know about how to release a prophetic word in a way that's going to give it the most impact. Because, you know, we can sometimes be our own worst enemy. If we don't know how to deliver a prophetic word properly, don't know when to do it, you know, just understanding some of those things, you know, we can really kind of mess things up. And, you know, I've done it. We've all probably had experiences like that. So, what do you do when the Lord gives you a prophetic word? Let's just kind of run down the questions real quickly. You want to ask yourself, is it supposed to be given publicly? All right? Not every word is a public word. And that's important that we need to hear from the Lord about that, whether he wants us to share this in a public way or privately. At number B, or letter B there, is it for an individual? That would be your next question. You know, and the word obviously could be for yourself. If God's speaking to you, it could be for you. So that's kind of the first thing you want to check. Is it something to pray about? Should you submit it to other people for evaluation and discussion? Or is it for meditation and further study? So these questions, if you, you know, kind of have this in the back of your mind in circumstances where you don't know, God, should I do this publicly, whatever, you know, it just will help you to get an understanding of what to do initially with this prophetic word that you get. Sometimes you get a word in a public meeting, gathering, church service, or whatever. You know, if you're in my type of a gathering, you know, like this classroom or Heaven's Invasion or, you know, IHOP when we're doing our prophetic sets, there's very, very limited protocol. In other words, we don't make it hard. You know, some churches make you jump through hoops to do a prophetic word. You know, they really do. You know, I'm sure we've all seen churches that have a, I like to call them prophecy wrangler. It's the person that sits by the microphone, and you have to go to them first to tell them what your prophetic word is, so that if they like it or they think it's kosher or good, then you can speak on the microphone. Okay. You know, I understand why that's done. You know, they're trying to maintain some measure of order and try to prevent people from speaking, you know, things that are wrong. My only problem with that is that it's not scriptural, but, you know, as the Bible doesn't say that you need a filter, that we're supposed to filter prophetic words. We're supposed to let them come out, and then if they're messed up, then we deal with them. Okay? Because how else are people going to learn how to discern between true and false if we never expose them to flaky words? Does that make sense? If we never trust people to hear a flaky word and all of a sudden realize, wow, that doesn't sound right, because the Holy Spirit is faithful to do that, see, we have so dumbed down our approach to working with people that it's almost like, oh, we have to protect you in case something bad is said, something inappropriate is said, something false is said. That sounds so noble, but it's actually an insult to the people. It's like saying, oh, we don't trust you to be able to discern. We don't trust you to be able to you know, separate the meat from the bones when somebody comes up and shares a word.
What about in a situation where you have a member of your group that in and of itself is a flaky individual, and, you know, I mean, and just want to, they're more giving out a word that's in flesh,
sure,
because they want to be a part.
Exactly.
I've seen people fall out in the spirit and I don't mean to laugh, and actually almost cracked their skull open because they thought, well, everybody else is falling out. Themselves back. You know, so.
Here's a triple half gainer.
And he didn't get to her in time to catch her.
Oh,
it,
really?
It was hysterical. And, you know, I had to leave the church. It was hysterical. But so what do you do in a case like, because I've been a part of a church where you've had flakes.
Sure.
How do you know what I'm saying? Like, how do you prevent against the flakes just coming up and grabbing the mic and start, you know, going off on a tangent somewhere?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. My position, and again, this is, you know, people have to do what they feel is right. My position is I'm not going to prevent anybody from coming to the microphone.
Wow.
However, if they come to the microphone and they start, I'll give you an example. I've only had really a couple of incidents where I needed to deal with people.
Okay.
So that in itself is an amazing thing when you think about it, because we value people coming to the microphone. We tell people, if you think God's showing you something, you better come and share it, because if you don't, you're robbing the rest of us.
Right.
That's our attitude.
Right. Okay.
You know, I'm very zealous for the revelation that God wants to release, because it's precious. Okay? So somebody comes to the mic, and we had a situation in the house of prayer one night where someone came up and began to speak, and what they started to bring was more of a political diatribe. Okay? So I let them speak for about a minute or so, and I said, okay, listen, I can tell that, I'm so sorry, I forgot to turn my phone off. You know, I said to them, I said, I can tell that you're very passionate about this subject, but let me just say that this is not the place to have this sort of a discussion. Okay? If you want to have a, you know, discussion about this topic, we can set aside some time and make an announcement, and people can come who are interested in that to talk about that particular topic with you. See, I didn't, say, well, you know, stop talking about that. We don't care about that. Or that's, you know, wrong. We don't do that here. You know, I affirm the person in terms of this is important to you, you know, and I want to honor that. But this is not the place to talk about this topic. However, if you would like to have a discussion about this topic, we can accommodate you at a different place, time, situation. See, so that was a fairly easy one to deal with. You know, if you got somebody who's up there and is clearly sharing stuff that's, you know, just, you know, Jesus didn't rise from the dead or something like that, you know, then, you know, you would have to stop and say, okay, you know, the Bible's very clear that Jesus rose from the dead, so you're wrong. Okay?
You haven't had to do that, right?
Yeah. No, we've never had to do that. Again, because what's the ultimate goal that we should have when it comes to the people of God? Okay, that's important. And because we love them, what do we want for them?
Freedom in the spirit.
And what else?
Life afterwards, too.
Well, that too. Okay? But we want what the Lord wants, which is for us to grow up and to mature. Okay? So, again, if we don't allow for there to be messy situations, exactly. How are people going to learn from those situations? Number one, how do you deal with those? Number two, what is the truth? See, you know, and the person that's coming forward to share that word that's wrong, well, what are you going to do with them? You know, are you going to say you can't ever come back here? Or are you going to go afterwards and meet with the person and say, are you interested in talking about what you shared tonight and why we believe it's wrong based on what the Bible says, right? And to see what their response is. If they say yes, then you have an opportunity to sit down with them and share from the Word and hopefully correct their theology, right? So that they are not any longer walking in deception or error, see? Or if they say, no, I know I'm right, then can you say, well, if that's how you truly feel, then we're going to have to ask you not to come back. because that what you're saying is completely, you know, opposite to what.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And we want to be in agreement here concerning what.
Wow.
Yeah.
I go to a couple meetings a week on study.
Sure.
Different places, and plus I go to a couple of different churches for church services.
Good for you.
And I've learned so much, and yet I still can't get enough, and I keep going more and more. Like I was out there 2 o'clock, almost 2 o'clock the other night.
Sure.
Trying to find the churches that are still open. Easter. Easter, you know, Eve, you know.
Yeah.
And I was over at that one church, and we had to walk around the church 3 times with holding the candle.
Oh,
wow. I beat my foot.
That's so nice.
Yeah, oh my word.
And then they come up there and they're ringing the bell, boom.
Wow.
And it's a Catholic church.
Okay, well, that explains it.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah. Yes.
That's cool.
They're deep into that stuff.
I loved it. I loved it.
That's awesome. Great.
Later on, he went into the big room, and they had their Easter baskets, and they blessed them.
Oh, my gosh.
They blessed the Easter baskets. Wow.
Did the Easter bunny show up, too?
Big room. I just went in there because I was riding by and just see which ones were open.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
And I said, whoa, maybe I can get me one, you know? But it was the people that brought their food in to get it blessed.
Yeah.
Their Easter baskets to take back home.
Right.
It was like maybe about 60
wow.
Big ones, old ones.
And that's amazing. Wow.
That's so
we
cool.
We can have a picnic or what?
That's great.
But I love it. Yeah. I loved it.
That's
loved
awesome.
It. I just can't get enough of it.
I know, right? It's amazing.
Yeah.
I happen to love Eagles Wings Ministry. Mm-hmm. And whenever they are around for their conferences,
sure.
I do my best to try to get there.
Yeah, me too.
And what they say is, they kind of gear it in the way, if you have a word of knowledge,
mm-hmm.
You know, because God is a God of order.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, that's the famous saying.
Oh, yeah.
And so we don't want, you know, confusion.
Exactly.
So if you believe you have a word, come to mm-hmm. one of the assigned people.
Exactly.
And that's yeah. how they, yeah.
And listen, they're completely free to structure their gathering the way they feel is appropriate.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that. If they feel that's going to best serve the purposes that they have for that meeting, to do it that way, that's fine.
Yeah.
For me, not so much, you know. I mean, maybe we'll have to relook at that if we ever end up doing gatherings as big as Legal's Wings. Because right now we're still pretty small, and we're really looking to encourage people to come up and share. Because most people,
I agree with that, though. I mean, I do.
Yeah.
I, like, you know what I'm saying? Like in my spirit, I agree with that. But again, when you're just so accustomed and used to the way it used to be.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know? But then you've always known, or you've always kind of had a feeling like, I don't... Okay,
right.
Well, if I have to tell you first, then never mind. Forget it.
Yeah.
You know? Right?
And then you have the people that come up and tell the person one thing, and then when they get on the mic, they say something completely different. It's that, I'll show you. Oh, God wants me to say that Jesus loves us all. You know, they got,
right.
The judgment of God is about to fall on this house. You know?
Right.
It's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. So, yeah, it can be a challenge. But my thing is, you know, if we're going to be leaders in God's kingdom, we have to be willing to face the challenges that come with that role of service. And when there's people that, you know, that need help, and you can tell they need help because they're saying some wacky stuff, you know, you got to deal with that. You just have to. So, good question. Anything else on this? Otherwise, we can move on. All right, so we'll just go through the rest of this stuff here, and any questions you have, you can just jump in with. But so obviously, if it's a word that the Lord's saying, I want you to speak publicly in a gathering, point A, we're on number two now. A says submit to authority. And again, that's going to depend on the kind of gathering you're in. If they have a protocol in place where you got to do it this certain way, well, if you want that word to get out, guess what? You better do it the way they want you to do it, all right? Otherwise, it's not going to happen. You know, there may be certain times in the service when it's appropriate to do that, and other times, you know, they don't want anybody doing it, okay? So you just have to submit to whoever is in charge in that gathering, however they've established the protocol, you got to do that, right? B is obviously very, it seems like an obvious one, but unfortunately I've heard many people get up and give a word and it doesn't, they're not really speaking, you know, with any authority. It's like, yeah, the Lord says, yeah. Oh, really? Can we get the interpretation, somebody? You know, it, so it, that's important, right? The timing issue, that can be an issue in gatherings where there's less defined protocol. And the reason for that is this. I'll give you an example. Let's say that you're in a free gathering where, you know, it's just, we're just being led by the Holy Spirit, and we're in this time where we're just rejoicing and just really, you know, having a great time of worship and praise. And all of a sudden, the Lord gives you a word that deals with an area of repentance. Okay? Now, the room is in the midst of rejoicing. So it's probably not wise that you get up on the microphone and say, stop the music! God say repent. No. Okay? You know, that would be a case when you would simply, okay, Lord, I'm seeing this. And you're going to help me know when it's time to release that word, all right? When it can be received and acted upon. So you would wait for a time where things are transitioning, perhaps, you know, where you could, or wait for something else to happen that would cue you, you know, say, Lord, give me some confirmation that I'm supposed to release this today, you know. And maybe that somebody will pray something that will, you know, be in line with what God gave you, and then you can share that. And, you know, I say, when in doubt, ask a leader. That's always safe. You know, say, you know, God's given me this word, and it just doesn't seem like it fits in with what's happening right now. What do you think we should do? Blah, 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 you know. You know, it's, you're usually going to never be on the wrong track if you humble yourself and just, you know. At least, especially with our stuff, you know, because we want people to be stepping out, and if you're not sure, you know, that's okay. We'll help you. You know, thing is, let's learn this. Let's get good at this. You know, all right. All right. Number three, if a word is for an individual, definitely, you know, share it with them. But I really recommend you have a witness with you whenever possible. Okay. And there's a couple of reasons for that. First one is for your protection. What does that mean? People sometimes don't hear properly. They don't hear what you actually said. So, you know, and this has happened many, many times over the years. You know, if you're sharing a word over somebody and the Lord is showing you that they have a prophetic gifting on their, you know, in their life, a prophetic anointing, okay? Well, the person could hear that and all of a sudden say, oh, I'm a prophet. Okay, now you never said that. You never prophesied or declared them to be a prophet. You just simply said, oh, the Lord showed me you have a prophetic gift. You have a, you know, you're anointed prophetically, okay? It's a big difference between that and being recognized as walking, you know, as a fivefold prophet, okay? But in many cases, you know, people hear what they want to hear, and so now all of a sudden they're a prophet, and when people ask them how come, they say, well, you know, because Rochelle prophesied that over me. Right. And then you got the pastor of the church coming at you, say, why in the world did you, would you, you know what I mean? Yeah, and so for your protection, you want to have somebody, whenever possible, to witness what you're sharing so that you've got that extra set of ears there, okay, to confirm or deny, you know, what was actually said in that situation. And the second reason is for their benefit, for that person's benefit, so that if they forget something, you know, if you're not in a position where you can record it or you can write it down, you know, we forget so much of what we hear. You know, to have another set of ears there to remember it, or even better, to have them jot notes as you're sharing that word, just so you have some kind of record, okay? It's for your protection. Now, if you're in a situation where there's no witness, does that mean you shouldn't share the word? No, okay? You know, we have freedom in the Lord here. I'm just saying that this is a good principle to consider when you're ministering to somebody individually, you know, to have a witness with you, okay, whenever you can. Just like I say, it provides protection for you and for them, and it's just good practice, okay? That's why we record the prophecies in the prophecy room, because we want people to remember them. We want to protect the team against anything that's been misunderstood, you know. And so it's just a good safeguard, okay? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Second point is we want to stay within our appropriate level of authority, which, as we've said, is to edify, to encourage, and comfort. That's the sphere of authority that general prophecy is given in the body of Christ. That when you are ministering prophetically, that's really the arena that you have to edify, to encourage, to comfort. Right? What does that mean? That means, generally speaking, you're not to give directive words. Quit your job and move to Tulsa. Okay?
Right.
Stuff like that. Sell your house. You know, those kinds of words are not appropriate in the prophecy rooms. I'll tell you that right now. We don't want to go that direction. What we will say is, I think the Lord is showing me something concerning your job, that there might be a change. You see the difference there?
Big difference.
Yeah. Or I think the Lord may be showing me something about your location, that there might be a change coming in your location. See, that's a whole different thing than saying, you know, sell your house and move. Quit your job and do this, you know what I mean? Exactly. That whole thing, okay? We also want to be very careful when it comes to prophetic words about marriage, about babies, all right? I'm not saying God won't show. He may show you stuff like this. But when he does, you got to be very careful about it, because especially when you're just starting out, all right? If you've been at this for years and years and years and you got a track record and people know that you're highly anointed and, you know, whatnot, then you say whatever God shows you, okay, because you're good to go. But in the beginning, people, you know, they don't know you. They don't know who you are, what you have, and, you know. So when it comes to words like that, we want to be very careful, you know. If you feel like the Lord is showing you something about their future with regards to a mate, all right, you can say, I feel like the Lord is showing me that he has someone special for you, okay, in the way of a mate. But, you know, don't be prophesying the name or the person unless you heard that verbatim from God. You see what I mean? These are words that really are outside the normal sphere of prophetic ministry. All right. I have people, you know, we've kind of debated this back and forth when we have our team meetings, you know, and I have people that want me to be really hard and fast with this, and I refuse. Again, I'm not going to put God in a box. You know, there could be circumstances where God will give you a very specific word in an arena that's not normal. And I'm not going to shut that down as long as you know that it's outside the normal bounds of prophetic ministry and you tell the person that. Say, we don't normally say words like this, but it's so strong, I have to share this with you. You need to take it before God and see what he's. You know what I'm saying? You're still keeping yourself humble. You're keeping yourself, you know, accountable for that word, you know, acknowledging, yeah, this is not something that I would normally be talking about, you know, in this context, okay? Again, babies is another area, you know, where we want to be careful about that. We have had, you know, numerous times when the Lord has shown, given a word about a woman getting pregnant and having a child, okay? But again, it's just something that we just be careful with it, okay? Because these issues are so emotionally heavy that we just don't want, you know, people getting jacked up because they got a prophetic word that they're getting married by next year and they're going to have a baby or whatever, you know, those sorts of things. It's like, let's kind of keep it, rein it in here, you know. We're going to allow for those times when God may give you something specific like that, but it's generally not the way it works, okay? Any questions on that? Okay. The third point is for the organization, you know, if you're in an organizational structure, if you get a word that, let's say, deals with issues pertaining to the organization or pertaining to leadership, you know, I'm talking about big issues where God is you know, giving you words that relate to the direction of an organization or church or something, you know, going on in the life of another leader, okay? Those are words, again, that fall outside the normal sphere of prophetic ministry. Now, why would God give you a word like that? Well, because maybe that's part of your destiny that he wants to bring you into, you know, that he's going to bring you into a level of the prophetic that's beyond the norm. So if that's the case, you got to be very careful with how you handle that word, all right? If you're called to an organizational structure, an organized church, you have to be very careful with how you handle that word. Because if you're not in good relationship with leadership, see, they're going to look at you very suspiciously. Who is this person that all of a sudden thinks they're prophetic and thinks they have a word for my church? See, this is how a normal leader is going to react. I hate to use the word normal because it's it's abnormal, but that's the way, you know, church leadership in our culture reacts. If you come to them, especially if they don't know you're prophetic, if they've never heard a word from you, or, you know, just have limited exposure to you as a person, they're going to be very suspicious about what you're bringing to them. It's just human nature, all right? So you've got to be aware of that, and you've got to be willing to pour into a relationship with them. They have to know that you're on their side. They have to know that you're for them and not against them. Otherwise, they're not going to receive your word. Or if they do receive it, it's going to be with huge grain of salt, and they'll look at it and say, yeah, maybe, or put it on the put it in the garbage can. Okay, I can tell you that even if you have a fairly good relationship with leadership and you bring a word that they don't agree with, it's going in the garbage can. All right? It really is. And what will happen is that the word that you gave will be a seed that lodges in their heart and spirit, and somewhere down the road, it will come forth because somebody else will say something to trigger it. Okay? Or they'll be in prayer, and all of a sudden they'll get a revelation where the Holy Spirit will bring that to their remembrance. They won't remember you said it. All right? They won't remember it was you that gave it to them, but all of a sudden they'll get this revelation, see, that they thought is coming from their own heart, but no, this was the seed that you planted 6 to 12 months earlier by a word that they looked at and said, okay? And for many prophetic people, this is one of the hardest things to deal with. You know, when you share a prophetic word and you get rejected, unless you got your head straight, you're going to take that personally. Unless you understand you are only the messenger, all right? You're not responsible for how the recipient deals with the message, okay? You're just responsible to deliver the message.
So prophetic words aren't always confirmation?
By and large, most prophetic words, yeah, confirm what's already happening in a person's heart. Now, there are going to be words that are definitely, you know, new revelation. But even then, you know, if God's in the timing of it, it will bear witness because of what's already been going on in the person's heart. You know, they'll see that it's a next step for them, you know, or at least see some, you know. We'll talk a little bit more of that in a minute, but yes, that's, you know, basically most words are going to confirm. So, you know, my goal for you guys, you know, if you're in an organized church setting, is I want you to be successful. Hey, Toya.
Hey.
How are ya?
Good. How are you?
Okay.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, honey.
Better late than never, huh?
Yes, indeed.
You know we love you.
Thank you.
That's my evaluation. If you would fill that out for me, that would be awesome.
Okay.
Get that next week. And here's the notes for tonight. All right. You know, my goal is I want you guys to be successful if you're in that environment. So you need to know how to weave in and out of that thing. And again, you know, having a good relationship with the leader is going to give you more of an opportunity to be heard, okay, by them, so that if the Lord's using you to bring words like that, you know, it will have an impact. Sometimes it doesn't work that way, right, Scott? Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. All right. It is. So.
But that was so encouraging for me that God will often use that word later in the future. So,
yeah. Yeah, if it's a true word, you know, it will not fall to the ground. You know, it's going to have its role in their heart at some point. It'll come back up, hopefully, anyway. Right? Okay. Number four, sometimes words are for prayer. There are things the Lord will show you that he wants you to pray into. Okay? This is obviously a function of prophetic intercessors on a high level. You know, the Lord gives them revelation all the time about what to pray into. He'll show them what the enemy's up to or what the Lord is looking to do, you know, in a church or in a region and whatnot. And they're to pray into that. They're to come into agreement with that prophetic word so that it can come to pass. And so, you know, journaling is so critical for some folks. I don't know if you guys do that with your prayers. I'm bad at that. I really need to do better in journaling. But it's a good way to maintain a record of the dialogue that you're having with the Lord concerning whatever he's showing you prophetically to pray into. The second point there is always pray towards victory and blessing. And this is so, so important, especially, you know, for folks who have an intercessory gift. But it also applies to the rest of us as well. We can receive revelation that seems very negative, okay? We can receive words that seem like the world is coming to an end, all right? Darkness and death and destruction and all this stuff, you know. These are legitimate prophetic words that people can receive, but they're not the whole story. I believe, and I can't, you know, I can't give you a chapter and verse for this, but I believe that folks who have especially an intercessory gift can tap into, I think I mentioned this once, didn't I? Second heaven revelation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about. Second heaven revelation, where they are able to see what the enemy is up to. So a lot of times you'll see these prophetic words that are released that talk about God judging, you know, sending calamities and disasters and all this kind of stuff. Okay. Well, you know, what they're seeing is true, but it's not God. They're not seeing what God is up to. They're seeing what the enemy is up to. The Lord is giving them insight into the schemes of the devil. He's the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, not Papa. See? If somebody got a word that Katrina was going to be, you know, the Hurricane Katrina was going to devastate New Orleans, which there were words to that effect, okay? We have a choice to make in receiving that word. Are we going to accept it as inevitable, or are we going to take that word as a challenge to rise up and do something about it? See, that's the difference between a church mentality and a kingdom mentality. Years, you know, in the church, when a word like that would come, it would be, "Oh, Lord, have mercy on us, head for the hills. Disaster's coming." See, it was received as a prophetic word. This is what God is going to do. And it's not. It is a warning. It is a, it's like intelligence, you know, like spies. We have spies that are spying on what the devil wants to do. And we're getting reports back. Oh, that's what he wants? Well, guess what? In the name of Jesus, we're going to stand up and we're going to rebuke this storm. We're going to command this storm to go somewhere else. Okay? We're going to pray into the ground in California. And we're going to say, be healed in the name of Jesus. And if you're going to slip, do it somewhere else. See? Because there's prophecies that are out there about a big earthquake that's going to hit California very soon. Okay? Now, again, we can either receive that as an inevitable thing. Oh, well, what are you going to do? I guess you better move. That's what I'm hearing. Move out of California now. Now, yeah, you can do that. God won't be mad at you, won't he? You know, he'll still love you. But my question is, when are we going to stand up in unity and begin to do something about this. Begin to speak to the ground. Creation is groaning for the manifestations of the sons of God, Paul wrote in Romans 8, right? That's you and me being shown as the sons and daughters of God who have authority in the earth realm to do something about these things, okay? So we need to recognize that when we get these negative things like that, it's not because this is what God wants or it's going to happen no matter what we do. No, so that we can take some stand of authority to do something about it, okay? So we want to always pray or prophesy towards victory and blessing, okay? You get a prophetic word that somebody's going to die, you're going to just... Nice knowing you. See you in glory. You know what I mean? But that's what people have done. You know, they call them up and say, "Oh, God, tell me that you're going to die." Oh no! What am I going to do? Well, how about break that thing? You know, let's take authority over that and cancel the scheme of the devil that would take your life prematurely. Right? So God's trying to teach us this stuff, and I'm excited about it because we're starting to get it.
It's a light bulb moment.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, over the head. So then, it doesn't just have to be for world affairs. It can be individual. It can be dreams.
Oh yeah.
Because I've just been tormented by this dream I had last night about my mom.
Really?
Okay. And I can't. It's just, it's not logical, but it was horrible and it was demonic and it was wicked and it was a whole bunch of stuff.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
And I'm speaking in tongues in my sleep.
Wow.
But it's just been a part of me all day. But you talking, it hit me. That it just hit me. There are things that I need to pray off of my mom.
There you go.
And that was, I was being shown.
Yeah.
It's all, and I know I sound fragmented, but it's all, no, it's the real is plain. It's all, yeah. Oh my God.
You had a glimpse, in your dream, you had a glimpse into the spiritual realities surrounding your mom. Does that make sense? Yeah. And what's good, here's the good news, Rochelle. Because God showed you that, He has positioned you and authorized you to do whatever's necessary to see your mom get set free. Isn't that good?
She's been bound for many, many plans. Years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Foiled yes. again, right?
You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I would, you know, I would also, you know, counsel you to, insofar as you're able to, get your mom to agree.
Yeah, well.
That's a whole
and
other
if you
different.
Can't, if you can't, then you go on the basis of what God showed you, because again, what God reveals, He heals. And if He's showing you the realities around your mom, it's so that you can now begin to do something about that. Okay? So you exercise every bit of authority that you have over her. You break whatever off that God shows you. You do whatever is necessary, you know, over her life, because God's giving you some access. All right? Again, normally, when you're dealing with another person, their will comes into it. They have to have some level of agreement.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But
right.
God does make exceptions. He right. does make exceptions. And usually it's with a family situation.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
God will grant somebody in that family a level of authority to, you know, break off and set free.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom has had over 50 years of depression.
Wow.
Over 50 years of depression, oppression,
okay.
you know.
And she's not even in any position to agree to anything
no,
at this point.
No, just wallowing.
Yeah, so you can do it.
Wow.
You can do it. That's awesome. Good stuff, huh?
Yes,
Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
Yes, indeed.
We'll give you a moment now.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, it could be, right. That was Hezekiah, I think, right? And so, right, he heard that word and said, wow, I don't want to die yet. Mm-hmm. So he did something to prevent it. You know, he called on the name of the Lord. He did what he could do, and the Lord heard his prayer. So, yeah, God, even, you know, God will change. See, again, that, but it's a little different in a sense that, that, you know, the Lord was saying to him, you know, your time's up. I'm talking about the times where the enemy is coming and trying to steal or kill somebody before their time.
All right, and I'll ask you a question about that later.
Okay. No problem. All right. And the last point, again, this is for those that are intercessors. Pray until you're released. That's just a principle that, that we understand. There's going to be a release where we can say, okay, I'm done with that assignment. Okay. Point number five, there are some words that really do need to be submitted to leaders. Proverbs 11:14, and many counselors, there is wisdom. What I find is for young, for folks who are young in the prophetic, we tend to take a very black and white approach to words that we get that are of a larger context. God gives you, shows you something for a church or for an organization or for something like that. Okay, we tend to take a very black and white approach. This is what God showed me. All right, almost to say that if you don't agree with it, you know, you're outside the will of God, or you're not hearing from God, or you don't have the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we need to maintain that level of humility and recognize what the Bible says, that we prophesy in part. Okay? We prophesy in part, which means that what I saw, yeah, to me, that's the word of the Lord, but it's not the entire word of the Lord. Okay? So when I share it, I have to be, you know, willing to accept the fact that there are going to be others that have a different perspective on what they think the word of the Lord is. And, you know, again, in these organizational contexts, man, it can be a real zoo trying to get through this stuff and you know, make it work. But if that's where God's called you, you got the grace for it. And that's the good news. He gives you grace to deal with those situations, okay? But in many counselors, there's wisdom. You know, you want to come into it with this attitude of, hey, this is what God's showing me. I want to hear from you because I don't want to ever make it sound like I have all the answers. You know, so give me some feedback, give me some other perspectives on this. And if you do that, then you really will be respected, because, you know, you won't be coming in with guns blazing saying, this is what God's saying, either do this or you're a reprobate.
right.
You know, that sort of thing. Okay. And I already brought out 1 Corinthians 13:9. This is so important, guys. This principle that we know and prophesy in part, you have to have this burned deeply into your hearts and minds, okay? And the reason for it is because when you get a prophetic word, it seems like this is it. Because it's so powerful to you. It really, really is. You know, it just, it hits you like that. Say, oh, this is what God is saying. Yes, but it's not all he's saying. You've gotten a good chunk of it, but it's not the whole piece, okay? This is why my strong preference now is to not minister by myself prophetically. I greatly enjoy ministering as part of a team, because I'm only getting a piece of the pie. But if I can have a group of my friends with me, and they're getting stuff, and I'm feeding off of them, and they're feeding off of me, it just becomes this whirlwind of prophetic, you know, release that it's just, ah, it's a joy. It's like we have so much fun, it should be illegal when we do team ministry. You know, because like I said, we're just all kind of sharing what God's showing us, and the person's just getting blessed out of their socks because they're getting a much bigger picture of what the Lord, you know, has for them than if it was just me, you see. So it's very important that you grab hold of this about prophesying in part and recognize that that's the reality. All right, growth through correction. You know, we've talked about this, I think, in classes, in the past classes, but we've got to always be open to correction. You know, if you're not, then you've taken your first step down the road to deception. If you're unreachable, if you're uncorrectable, unteachable, you know, you're in a place of pride, and you're going to find yourself hurting bad. Okay, so it's that we should welcome correction. We should welcome people speaking into our lives that will help us, you know, with wisdom, with correction, with, you know, all that kind of good stuff, encouragement. Okay? I mean, that's part of what I offer you guys here when we do our activations. You know, I give you, I don't necessarily correct you in the sense that, oh, that was a wrong word, but I will help you understand better what God showed you so that you can be better at sharing it. Okay. All right. Sometimes words are for further study. The Lord will give you a revelation, and it's so that you can dig into it and begin to understand more deeply what he's trying to say. You know, I've had that happen several times over my life, and most times it has set me on a journey of study and learning that has taken months to fulfill. You know, I mean, it's just mind-blowing. The Lord gave me one very simple word a couple, 3 years ago. He said, I want you to go back and study the Gospel of John. Now, the Gospel of John is probably the simplest, most easy-to-understand book in the New Testament, okay? Very simple writing, you know, except in the beginning where it gets all esoteric. But once you get past that, you know, in the Word was God, and the Word with the beginning was God, and the Word was, you know, all that stuff. I was like, rah. You know, the rest of it's very simple. So I hadn't looked at the Gospel of John for years in any serious way, you know. So I went back and began to study. And you know what the Lord showed me? I want you to look at the miracles that Jesus did in the Gospel of John. Because each miracle is a prophetic parable. Each miracle teaches us something about the Lord or about the kingdom, about our relationship with him. And I should write a book. It just fascinated me how turning the water into wine, you know, that miracle, what there is, I can't, if I get into it now, we'll be here all night. But, you know, what the meaning of all that is. You know, what I did was I looked at each miracle as if it was a parable. I said, okay, what does this represent, Lord? You know, what's the truth here? What were you trying to show us besides the miracle itself? You know, I mean, why were there six water pots? You know, and why was the wine that he brought to the head waiter better than the wine that they had in the beginning? Why was that? See, that was put in there for a reason, you know. And there's reasons for all this stuff that the Lord was showing me, and I can't do it now. Anyway. So just be aware that the Lord will give you a prophetic revelation sometimes that will require you to just dig into the Word and understand more of what he's saying. Okay? Any questions on this part? Okay. So, ways of communicating a prophecy. You know, just so you know that there's more than one way to do it. You know, we're all familiar with singing. Speaking, you know, we speak the prophetic word most of the time, but there's other ways to do that. In Acts 21, we have the incident where the prophet Agabus takes Paul's belt and wraps it around his hands, right? And he says, the person who owns this belt, this is what's going to happen to them. So he did a prophetic act to illustrate the word of the Lord, all right? We love when the Lord gives us a prophetic act for people, because it's there's so much power in it, because not only is it bringing a revelation, an understanding, but because they have to do it, it marries the intellectual with, you know, the physical, and it makes it all the more powerful. Okay, we were ministering to a couple one time, and didn't know that they were having problems in their relationship. And so, you know, the Lord showed me that there was this brick wall between them. And I said, yeah, this is what God has shown me, that there's this brick wall between you guys. What is that all about? And they said, yeah, we just not having a good relationship. I said, well, would you like to get rid of that? Because the Lord also showed me that there's sledgehammers right next to you. And if you'll pick up a sledgehammer and wail away at it, the Holy Spirit's going to come and begin to set you free from the issues that were causing the brick wall. They picked up the hammer, and I'm telling you, that you could see all the pent-up frustration and anger just melting out of them as they wailed away at this brick wall in the spirit. Okay, I had another sister that the Lord showed me that she was in a box. You know, she was trapped in this box because of, you know, her strongholds and things. You know, I said, "You're in a box, but the good news, it's made of cardboard." And the Lord says, "If you kick it, it'll break down." She began, I mean, just she spun around. She was kicking, you know, and just kicking the box down. And in that, through that prophetic act, she was delivered of stuff that, you know, to this day I don't even know what it was, but you know, I know her now, and she is so free. It's ridiculous. Okay, so you know, be aware that the Lord may give you that kind of an action that either you or the other person, you know, will have to perform in order to really receive the fullness of that word. Okay, singing, you know, whether or not you consider yourself a singer, doesn't matter. You know, the Lord says sing, man, you got to sing. But there is something very special about delivering a word through song, because music does, you know, it kind of bypasses certain mental blocks that we have up, and it goes right to the heart. So if you get a chance to do that, you'll find it's very effective. If you play an instrument, you can, you know, obviously you can play prophetically as the Lord leads. You ever get into a war beat on them drums, man? Yeah. Yeah, right? Did you ever start something like that?
Yeah, well, there were some songs I would beat it a lot harder.
Yeah.
And
yeah. But I'm saying, did you ever initiate warfare music?
No, not yet. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Guess what? Something's shifting. And you're going to find a situation is going to come up in your church where all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's going to say now. And you're going to begin doing a war beat on that thing. And it's going to get picked up, and they're going to understand that, uh-oh, we got to do something here. See?
Wow.
Yeah. Because, yeah. You know, percussionists, they have to be free to follow that. You know, and if you get in trouble, who cares?
Right, right.
You know, see, I'm just following the Holy Spirit.
Right, right,
right. Amen. All right. Dance, prophetic dance. Oh, my goodness. I have a good friend who goes with us when we are out on the streets in New York to do our outreaches. And we, you know, we go out and we set up and we do our prophetic worship on the streets of New York in the summertime. And this sister will begin to dance, and she'll just dance, and I can't even describe it, but she dances prophetically, and the people that she dances, and she'll go right up to people, you know, who are there on the streets, and just dance in front of them, and the Holy Spirit just comes on, and they start weeping, and it's like, it's awesome, man. So yeah, prophetic dance is so, so cool. Poetry, art, I mean, you've probably seen people that draw and paint, you know, mm-hmm. that stuff in the conferences. I love that. Drama, prophetic drama. I haven't done this in years, but you can literally go into a place, if you have people that know how to do improv drama. And I had a drama troupe years ago, and we had gotten trained in that. And so you go into a place, and you say, okay, Lord, what's the prevailing stronghold? What's the issue that's in this neighborhood? And you begin to act something out that deals with that right then and there, you know? And it's like people see that, and they start gathering around because, you know, they think it's real. It's like doing an improv skit.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't rehearse it, but it's like the Lord says, do a skit on this, and you just improv it, and it becomes a word. See, this is what you're living in. Guess what? This is where God wants to take you out of this, you know, into something better. Okay. Publishing, we all know about that. You can, you know, get all kinds of prophetic words through books and newsletters and the internet. Okay. Any other thoughts on that? All right. How to judge a prophecy. Here come the judge. These are some important principles that you need to know, because, you know, you're going to receive prophecies as much as you're going to give them. Hopefully, you know, you're going to get prophecies regularly. And it's important to know how to judge the prophecy properly, okay? And this will also help you to know, you know, in terms of how your words are going to be handled as well. The first thing says, always judge the content of the word, not the messenger who brings it. This is important. Because God can use anybody to bring a prophetic word, and He will. He'll use somebody that you have no respect for. He'll use somebody that you think cannot possibly be anointed to prophesy. Okay? Why? Because He loves messing with us like that. He wants us to understand. See, the gifting, the anointing, is not given based on your character. Why? Because it's a free gift. Your ability to prophesy, your gift of prophecy, is not given to you because you earned it or because you were good enough to merit that gift. No, it's a gift. God just gives it. Okay? So that's why I say here, anointing does not equal character. You can have someone highly anointed and able to do, maybe miracles and, give you detailed prophetic words and words of knowledge and whatnot, right? And after they're done with that, they could just as easily walk down to the bar and start drinking and smoking, okay? Because their gifting is not dependent on their character, all right?
Is that when the Bible says the gifts are without repentance?
The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. He just gives it, right. And He says, here it is. He's not an Indian giver.
Right.
I know that's not politically correct to say anymore, but he's not. Right. He doesn't give you a gift and take it back. Right. Probably should stop using that phrase. But anyway.
Native American giver just doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There have been plenty of stories of people throughout church history that have been highly anointed for healing and different things that, had personal flaws and moral failings in their life, and stuff. Yet God was using them. Why? Why does God, here's a question for you, why would God use somebody so flawed to bring healing and deliverance and prophetic words? Why would He do that? I see those wheels turning. Very simple answer.
Confound the mind to reveal the heart.
Yeah, that's part of it, but this is a very, very simple answer. Come on. God is?
God?
Yes, He is.
He's good.
He is love. Exactly. He does it because He loves people so much, He'll use any opportunity given to Him to touch and heal and set free. Okay? See, the thing that we always tend to forget is that the Lord has limited Himself. He has chosen to limit Himself to work through us. Not that He still can't do or doesn't sometimes do things totally sovereignly. He does. But for the most part, He has chosen to limit Himself to working through human beings. So if He has a human being that He's anointed and gifted to do something, even if they're messed up, and there's people there that need Him, that need the Lord, He'll work through them because He loves those people so much. See, isn't that good? Yeah, really puts it in perspective, okay? The second point here is to separate the word from the way it was given. And that's kind of important because, as I like to put it, not everybody who ministers prophetically has been through my class. So they haven't been trained on how to minister prophetically with the love and the heart of the Father, okay? So you may find somebody that comes up and gives you a word, but they're nasty. They're mean. It's like they're angry, And so it's like you just want to say, get behind me, Satan, But hey, you've got to be willing to accept that there may be a true word there, even if the person did not say it, in the nicest possible way, because of their issues, So that's an important thing to understand, okay? And then we look at the same kinds of things that, we've already talked about. When we judge a prophecy, does it edify, encourage, and or comfort? All right, those are the basic parameters of our prophetic ministry. Does it reflect the Savior's heart? Again, that's the keystone to prophetic ministry. You know, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, or the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know, so it should have the flavor of the Savior on it. Okay, does it line up with the Word of God? Obviously, that's a big one. You know, that's our firm foundation right there. Okay, does it bear witness in your heart? Now, this one, you know, you put a little asterisk there because there's a caveat with this one. And the caveat is this: if a word does not necessarily bear witness with you, it doesn't mean it's not true. All right? If it lines up with everything else, but it just doesn't bear witness with you, okay, you have to allow for the possibility that it's a true word, and here's why. We don't know the timing of prophetic words. When God speaks a word to you about something that he wants to do in your life, like I'm calling you, you know, to establish my kingdom, you know, in Africa, and you're sitting there going, I ain't going to Africa. That's the last place I'm going. What are you, crazy? You know, I'm not going with all the bugs and animals and nasties and junk like that, right? So you get a word like that, and it's like, psh, no way. We don't know the timing. That word may not be fulfilled for another 10, 15 years. All right? And guess what? You better hope you're a different person in 10 to 15 years. All right? So that when you get there, God will have so worked in your heart that it's like, I can't wait till I get to Africa. See? So we just can't reject out of hand if it doesn't bear witness. You know, in other words, don't let that be your sole criteria. You know, I tell people if it doesn't bear witness, but it lines up, you know, with all the other checks that you have, just put it on the shelf. You know what, Lord? Your word says that every word's going to be confirmed out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. So I'm just going to wait and wait for you to confirm it, you know, because it just doesn't hit me yet. Okay? So that's good. Number six, do your outward circumstances confirm the word? And this would seem like it's rather obvious, but you'd be surprised how many people don't even think about that. You know, if I'm trying to think what the example I always use for this. If you get a word, you know, if a woman gets a word that say that where the Lord is saying that, you know, the baby that she's carrying is going to be mighty in spirit, and she's not married or pregnant, you know, you might want to question whether the word was for the lady behind you and not for you, okay? Because, I mean, prophets can...
Especially if you're a guy.
Yeah, it's the baby inside of you. Whoa. Homie, don't play that. You know, you have to realize that prophets can miss it. You know, they just can. They just could be having a bad day. I don't know. I have a friend that I don't really see too much anymore because they moved away, but he got jacked up seriously because, you know, he was at a church service and the prophet called him out and, you know, prophesied over him that he and the girl that was sitting next to him, you know, we're going to be married and stuff like this and whatnot. And he had no interest in this girl. He was already dating somebody else and was going to be engaged to her and stuff like that. So he jacked him up. I said, dude, people make mistakes. Yeah, but I don't trust this prophetic. So he just totally jacked him up, which is a shame, you know, but that happens. So, yeah, outward circumstances should confirm the word. You know, if you get a word that says, oh, the Lord sees you in your poverty and, you know, you're doing great. It's like, buddy, I think you missed it. Okay. And finally, the last test of all is, does it come to pass? If it comes to pass, you know it's a true word. Right?
Yes.
Obviously. Okay. So hopefully that'll help you, you know, when you get a word yourself. To be able to look at it and understand. So how do we respond to prophetic words? This is important because every true word of the Lord demands a response. Every prophetic word that we get from God demands a response. Why? Because it says in James 1:22 that we should be doers of the word and not just hearers. Okay? Yet many Christians have a nice collection of prophecies that they've listened to and they continue to listen to, but they ain't doing squat about it. Okay? They say, wow, look at these great words I got. Okay, well, that's great. What are you doing in response to those words? You know, are you, has anything changed in your life? Are you making any changes in your life based on what God spoke to you? See, we have to respond to what he says. We want to be grateful and honor it. Obviously, the God of the universe has decided to give you a word. Wow, thank you, God. Thank you, Papa. You know, but that's the way he is. So we're going to be grateful. We're going to honor what he says. We want to record it. Okay, this is so important. If you, you know, what's the statistic? I think you forget like 90% of what you hear, right? You hear something and you know, within a half hour, you've forgotten like 90%. So I tell people, whenever you can, try to make sure that it's being recorded, whether it's notes somebody takes or you take, or tape it, record it somehow. Thank God these phones now have that, you know, recording capability built in, so you can record on your cell phone, right? You want to judge it by the guidelines that we just went through. Now, this one's very important. Identify any conditions which need to be met. Now, I'm going to make a blanket statement here, which I very rarely make blanket statements, but this is one that you can take to the bank. Every personal prophetic word that you receive is conditional. All right? Personal prophetic words are always, 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 always conditional. That means they're not guaranteed to happen unless we cooperate. Okay? We have to cooperate with the word that the Lord gives us. Otherwise, it ain't happening. Okay? If I get a word about a huge ministry that God wants to give me and I spend my days down at the bar exercising my elbow, guess what? That word's not coming to pass. Why? Because I haven't positioned myself so I can. You know? The Lord says, I have, you know, something for you over here, and I'm staying over here. He can't help me because I've made a decision that negates the possibility of that word coming to pass. Now, God's going to work on me. Don't get me wrong. He'll work on you to try to get you to see the light, see the error of your ways, so that you'll get over here because he really wants you to fulfill your destiny. You know, that's his desire. But if I don't cooperate with what he says, it's not going to happen. So we need to, that's a very important thing for us to recognize about personal prophecy. It's always conditional. It's not like the Bible. When God says something in the Bible he's going to do, guess what? It's happening. Whether we like it or not, it's going to happen. Okay? So we want to know, okay, what are the conditions that I need to meet in this prophetic word so that it can come to pass? You know, I want to cooperate with you fully, Lord, so that you can do what you want to do in my life. So I've got some suggestions here. Identify any specific steps of obedience. Create an action plan if appropriate. You know, look at these and say, wow, you know, this is what God's calling me. I have to do this if I'm going to get there. You know? And some, you know, sometimes it may be appropriate to have an action plan. Depends on how, you know, detailed you are or that you need to be for this, okay? Number 7, have faith and patience. You know, as I said earlier, we just have no clue concerning timing. The timing of the promises of God, just they're up to him, okay? And also up to us on some level based on our cooperation with him. We do have some bearing on when those words come to pass. You know, again, if we're not doing anything, it's going to delay. It's going to delay. But if we're pushing forward, it's going to happen. Hebrews 6 talks about Abraham and his experience where, you know, the Lord's promise to him was, you're going to have a kid, and it took 25 years for that thing to come to pass. You know, and he wasn't quite 100% with his trust in the Lord there. You know, his wife didn't really help the issue too much either. Why don't you have my slave girl and we can make a baby that way? All right, Sarah. Okay. But that's part of the deal. We've got to, you know, have faith and patience and know that you know, the Lord will bring it to pass as we walk with him. Meditate on it, pray over it, war with it. You know, sometimes you got to take those prophetic words and just begin to declare, thus says the Lord, I will be this, I will be doing this, I will be, you know, this is my destiny. You know, and begin to make those declarations, especially if you feel like you're stuck. You know, you feel like you're not going anywhere, Lord, you know. You know, sometimes we need to do that. Sometimes that's part of our training, is learning how to make declaration of the prophetic words. Paul talked to Timothy, he wrote to Timothy and says, you know, make by the prophecies that were made over you, you know, to war with them, you know, to declare in war with them. And so that's what we want to do sometimes, if that's where you're at, okay? If you don't witness to it, I guess I said earlier, you just file it for future reference. Now, these last two are very important. If you know that the word that you've gotten is definitely wrong, consider sharing that with whoever gave you the word. All right? Why? Because we want to help each other. And, you know, you guys have learned, because I'm teaching you, that we're open to correction. And I tell people, if I'm wrong, please, I want to know. And I'll ask people, does that make sense to you? Does that bear witness with you? Does that seem right to you? Because I want to know. I'm not afraid. You know, if they tell me, nah, that doesn't make any sense, you know, then I'll say, okay, well, you know what? Let's just wait and let's see what the Lord, what else he shows, you know, what else he reveals. You know, because if I miss that, then I want to get it right. You know, I want to get it right, because that person's important and God has a word for them. And if I've messed up, okay, let's try again. You know, so yeah, consider sharing with the person. Hey, you know, I just want you to know, I appreciate so much, you know, you're wanting to prophesy over me, and that was awesome. But I just have to tell you that what you said is totally off base, you know. And if they get mad, they get mad. Most people aren't going to get mad. Most of them will appreciate you coming to them and saying, hey, you know, so that they can learn, you know. But again, if they get mad, say, sorry, I just thought you'd want to know. I won't be coming to you for prophecy anymore. Right? You're off my list. All right. Now, this last one. If it seems negative, accusative, or like a curse, renounce it and break its power. Do not receive it into your heart. All right. I pray that this never happens to you, that you never get somebody to come and prophesy a word that is like that. All right. The sad thing is that Christians say things without thinking, without realizing what they're saying. So people, you know, even if they say something like, you know, that's ridiculous. That'll never happen for you. What have they just done? See? Yeah, they've spoken a curse over you, you know? I mean, in my experience, the most graphic example of this came when I left the church that I was in back in the 80s. And again, you know, I know why this happened, because I had really hurt this guy. I hurt the pastor badly. I'd said things that I shouldn't have said, right? But he spoke a curse over me and said, if you leave this church, you'll never fulfill your destiny. Okay? And so, you know, after I left that church, I went and got deliverance. Because I said, I don't know what's on me, but I got to get it off. You know, and it was all kinds of, you know, a lot of religious spirits and stuff like that were associated with that church that I needed to get free from. And, you know, one of those curses broken off, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, pastors, leaders, even just, you know, your friends can say things like that, you know, either comes out of their woundedness or out of their anger over stuff that had nothing to do with you, but they're just speaking words. And you know, you got to be the gauge as to, or judge as to, whether it's serious enough for you to say, yeah, I break that curse, you know, or whether it's just like, oh, they're just having a bad day, you know. But it is something to be aware of, that people who don't know better or haven't been trained properly, you know, will come to you and give you a prophetic word that says something like this: God is saying he's not pleased with you, that you haven't done what he's asked you to do, that he's saying if you don't get your heart in line with his, that he's going to remove the blessings over your life, that he's going to prevent you from realizing the destiny that he has for you. Okay? People will actually prophesy that over others, okay? Thinking that they're bringing a word of correction. Okay? That's not how Papa corrects. That's not how he corrects, right? We know how he corrects now. It's by prophesying the true destiny of a person and calling them into that. If they're not walking where God wants them to walk, it's only because they haven't seen enough of what he has in store for them. They haven't seen the full revelation of their destiny. Because anytime you see that, it's like, oh, what do I want this crap for? I'm going there because it's so much better, right? That's the way that the Lord brings correction into people's lives, is to show them the truth about what he has for them, you know. And the comparison is just so overwhelming that you immediately repent, which means change your mind,
right?
That this stuff is no longer relevant. Now I want what God wants for my life, because he's touched my heart. You know, you've revealed the secrets of that person's heart. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, that's what I've always wanted. And they just didn't know it, or didn't know how to get there, or didn't know what it meant, you know, but you gave them that revelation. So, cool. Any questions? So that's all kind of the nuts and bolts for prophetic protocol. Didn't know there was so much, huh?
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, did you check your name off? All right. Well, we got a few minutes. We could do an activation if you want. Oh, it's only 8:35? Wow. I blew through that today. I blew through that today. That's
cool. We got one more week.
Next week is it, my friend.
That's it?
Next week?
Yep.
That's it? It's over?
Yeah, it's finished.
I know. That's what everybody says.
Next week?
Yeah, next week is the last class, yeah. So, but as I was sharing with Tia before, you all have my phone number that you can call me up if you want to talk about stuff, you know. All right. So, activation. Let's see what we can do tonight. You know what? Let's do this. I really want to give you guys as much of an opportunity to get some practice doing group, team ministry. So let's do that.